Tonight we begin the sixth chapter, and God willing, we're going to go ahead and address the first nine verses of this chapter. Often, this is somewhat glossed over, but I believe the Lord's put upon my heart that we'll spend this evening right here in these precious nine verses. And as we get into this, we'll really see, I believe, the Holy Spirit's opened this up sweetly to my heart, more so than ever, that this is a continuation of the thoughts that we've just been reading of in Ephesians 5. This is a continuation of the members of the family of God. And that's why last week, or I should say 2 weeks ago, because we spent a couple weeks on the bride and the groom, the husband and the wife. But that's how it starts out. That's the head of the family, the husband and the wife. The joint heirs, the jointly reigning twosome. That is the head of the household. And praise be to God for that. And they will be the only two, brothers and sisters, as we know, the Word of God tells us, that will occupy the very midst of the throne of God. So let's rejoice as we read on. So without further delay, let's go ahead and read the first nine verses of chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. That's the only way you'll ever have the will of God performed in your life, is from the heart. It's in sincerity. Praise God. It's truth and love. It is the only way that will ever work. With good will doing service, as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. So, here we are in the first verse. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And there is so much natural application here. The honoring of moms and dads. And I'm grateful to God that I had such godly parents. Ones that love the Lord and truly in loving the Lord love their children. And instilled by God's grace into me and my brothers and sisters, the things of forever. There are many natural things that were taught. I'm so grateful to God. I felt that naturally and spiritually speaking, there was such a great balance in the home. It was always Christ the head, Christ first. But in that, that all things are possible with God. To let Him truly open your heart and mind, and that He is, you know, your wisdom, that He brings you increase. And I always appreciated that about my dad. He'd always kind of tell me, son, you gotta dream big to be big. And how the Lord encouraged that in my heart in faith, brothers and sisters. And that's not dream, it's a vision. And it's the vision of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And so few people really want to go that far with the Lord. You know, oh, that couldn't be. Or, you know, and it's just like how sweetly the Lord so gave us that sermon weeks back there with Mary. Just that she was able to conceive. Now think of that. Now, how could that be? You know? And then how could it be that she could conceive the Son of God? My goodness, how could that be? Nothing's hard for God. See, it's just that simplicity in Christ, and He's opened up all the Word to us. Isn't that just incredible to think that we live in this time, in this age, in this place, that He is seeking. He's seeking that goodly pearl, and He's given everything for it. That's how much of a treasure she is to Him. And that true worshiper that worships Him in spirit and in truth. And we know that the Spirit is the one that comes and sheds the love of God abroad in our heart. And we know that it's faith that worketh by love. And then that's that same Holy Spirit that guides us into all truth. So you see how that all fits together, is that increase of love makes you want to believe the Word of God. It gives you the capacity to believe the Word of God and to believe it for yourself, to make it your own. To not draw back in unbelief, but to go forward, as a sweet sister was saying, isn't it wonderful how he said, walk through all the land. You know, you can know that you're inheriting something, but knowing you're inheriting something doesn't do you any good. Go in there and use it. Tap that bank account. And praise God, this isn't one that we have to watch what the balance is. It's unlimited. And it grows the more that we use it, in a sense. You know what I'm saying? Is that it just continues to multiply at that increasing rate as the love of God causes the faith to believe Him to happen in our life. And it's so remarkable. And I don't mean to be scattered in that thought, but I think you that are in love with Jesus got that point. All right. But here we go with this honoring moms and dad and highly esteeming them in the natural, giving them reference. But we understand right off the bat that there's a more, much the more spiritual meaning here. And he gets right to it and he talks about this throughout this text as he says, in the Lord, as he'll say there, later on, to the Lord or of the Lord. And he continues to mention this over and over that it's not just natural speaking here, brothers and sisters. There's a much higher meaning to this precious scripture. And here, this first calling out to the children, as it says there in, verse 1, children, that word in the Greek is teknon. And that means little, it does not mean little children or infants, but it means sons. It's different. Now, when we're going to go over there to 1 John, where it's used, little children, that's infants. This is children, meaning sons. The call here is to all of God's children right off the bat, and the call to all of God's children is to obey the Lord. And you know why? Because it's right. Can you imagine that? It's right to obey the Lord. And that obeying means to listen. It means to submit. And brothers and sisters, the attitude, truly, the attitude of faith like a child must continue in our lives if we're ever going to grow up into Him in all things. It must. We can never get beyond just believing the Lord. That's what obeying is. It's believing His Word. It's submitting to God has said it. And it is so. And it's not just so, but God has said it, and praise be to God, it's for me. It doesn't just pertain to you, but it's for me. Now, I understand that there's promises to different peoples in the Word of God, but He's given all of this for instruction, all of this for growth, all of this to understand the very perfect plan of God. So understand that when He's bringing the Word of God, even when you study through Numbers and Leviticus, believe it or not, there's great truth in there that we need, and God is expanding this out as Paul's brought forth the revealing of that wondrous mystery that's throughout all of the Word of God. Praise His name. Now, this is simplicity, and it is. It's blunt, straight talk from the Lord, and His desire simply is to obey Him, to seek my ways, to hear my voice, to know my thoughts. Why not just let my mind be in you? You see? Isn't that precious? It's not something that we strive or have to think. And I will say it over and over. I don't need to go in there and think, what would Jesus do? He already said, let this mind be in you. Well, if I have His mind in me, it's going to be. Do you understand that? If you had my mind, you wouldn't have to think, what am I thinking? You would think like me. I'd feel sorry for you, but no. But as the Word of God is, He tells you, let this mind be in you that was in me, my mind, Christ Jesus' mind. And praise be to God, that's what faith does. We become operating in that wonderful spiritual realm, and it is there. We're seated in the heavens in Christ. We might as well just function, don't you think? Just be who we are. Praise God when we get into the simplicity of what He's given us in His life. Praise God. But we complicate the whole process, brothers and sisters, because we don't want to obey the Lord. And that's it. And there is that fight that goes on all the time. But I'm so thankful as He brings this out. It's not just for God's benefit. A lot of people think, well, see, God just wants you to obey Him because He wants to be an ogre and just sit there and go, well, you're going to obey me. Well, if he would have done that, you dummy, he would have made us like a dog can't help be a dog, and, you know, a cat can't help be a cat. No, he made us the most precious vessel we could ever be to him. We can worship him in sincerity, and that means in freedom, in liberty, in thankfulness, in gratitude. He's not forcing anything. I'm just grateful to God that there truly is a love. It's like when you fall in love with somebody, you don't force yourself to love them. You just love them. Well, when you see Jesus for who he is, you'll love him. You can't help but love him. You can't help but want to be a nut and come out on a night like this and hear a Bible study, see? You know how that is? Remember when you were courting, you ones that have been married for a while? Remember back then when it was snowing like this and it didn't matter? I hadn't seen you in a couple hours. I need to go see her again, huh? You know what I'm talking about. It didn't matter. You were in love. And that's what it is with the Lord, isn't it? As he draws us in. We come up against a lot of things, brothers and sisters, a lot of hurtful situations. And I'm thankful to God that he's continuing to convict me more and more. Get rid of my thoughts. Get rid of my doubts. Get rid of my trying to figure this thing out. Just let me be in you. Let me be in you. Let me have reign in you, son. I was in a situation this past week, and it was interesting because we've had sermons about the principle of the thing, you know? The goodness that we could make out of a situation. And I'm talking about a natural goodness. And I'm not saying that that's something that the Lord wouldn't have you do from time to time. Don't get me wrong. But I faced something like that. And I believe that the Lord could have used me to do something. But it would have been really throwing in a dagger into a lot of people. But in a lot of ways, they deserved it. But, 10 years back, as I told a brother, it was a layup. You know, they were right in front of the truck and I could have run over them and run back over them and, you know, just killed them real good. But the Lord, as much as I thought, and I couldn't settle in it for a while because I thought, well, Lord, there really is a good that could come about that, you know, it just go with this thing. And he just encouraged my heart. He said, son, do good unto them that despitefully use you. Vengeance is mine. I will repay it, thee, saith the Lord. And as I said to a brother, and I will go ahead and tell you my heart in this, it was sweet. You might think, gosh, who is this guy giving us a sermon tonight? But a brother was so sweetly encouraging me to go back and read that story of the home going when Brother Elijah was raptured up to heaven. And Elisha was with him, so I was reading through that. And I just want to tell that brother, boy, what the Lord's doing there about a double portion. Because that's about the double portion that Elijah asked to have. But I read on down through there. And, Elisha comes back and he retraces those steps, you see. And there he is walking through. And those kids start calling out, go on up, old Baldy, old Baldy, old Baldy. And he cursed them in the name of the Lord. Two she-bears came out and 42 children were killed that moment. Just like that. Okay? Now, God will do it. He'll fight my battles. He might even have me sense, pray, a lot of different things. Don't want to have it in hatred or anything of that nature. But you're not going to mock my God. And I don't need to stand in defense of that. I mean, he causes me by grace to. But let me tell you something. He will prove himself faithful. And when he touches the apple of his eye, or when someone touches the apple of his eye, when people come up against God's anointed, I do shudder to think. I do shudder to think. So we leave it there, and we know that he does it right. Okay, but we praise God here. That it's not just for God's benefit, brothers and sisters. You look there at verse 2 and see the words at the very end of there, with promise. And that's what God is. I mean, we're with promise. We're his children. You talk about promise, it's unlimited. But There's blessing when we obey the Lord, is what he's saying here. There's great blessing. And it's not the blessing that the majority of Christianity wants to preach to you, which is, oh, you obey the Lord, and he's going to bless you with money, a bigger house, a new job, all of these things. And no, no, no. The blessing is of showing things to you. The blessing is of letting you know things, of making mine all the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. That's the blessing, brothers and sisters, of listening to the Lord, to submitting to his word. You start looking into your birthright. You start looking into your inheritance. You start looking into the will, as Brother Hill used to say. Don't you want to read what you've inherited? Praise God. And you come into knowing it and believing it and knowing that God has this for you. But obeying, brothers and sisters, is following the leading of the Holy Spirit. It's a life that truly says, moment by moment, Lord, I will go. It is worth it all. I'm not going to delay. I don't care how much the ones that love me are telling me, well, can't you stay just a little longer? Can't you just get your eyes off of this for one moment? Well, I bring you right back, you that are married. When you were just struck in heart to be together, there wasn't anything stopping that. And not only did you not want to put off the day, you wanted to hasten the day. You wanted it as quickly as possible. You wanted to be together. And that is the life of love that says, Lord, oh my goodness, it's my privilege. It's my desire. I'm actually delirious. Let's go. Come on, Holy Spirit. Let's get to where I'm going to light off my camel and see him coming through the field. But know this, brothers and sisters, really know it, that blessings most often come from God in the form of a trial or a test. No duh, huh? Is that what you're saying? Really? We know the Word of God. And we're not saying that in jest. I'm praying that the Lord is smiling as we say that, because, see, we're so quick as a people to claim blessings that are what we think are good things. Oh, he blessed me with this. And we're blessed with all the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. I know we have a divine path. And praise be to God that these things, he might bring some that are needing work, a job. And we trust him for that, or a healing, or these things, brothers and sisters. But the blessing that he gave you, truly, I really do believe this, was the moment he allowed the job to go from you. Or when your body was tested with the sickness. Amen? Amen. See, the blessing for those three Hebrew children that were in the furnace wasn't when they got out. The blessing was they were rejoicing with the Son of God while they were in it. Think about that. There wasn't any panic there. They knew that he was well able. And then there's ones that unbelief, that looked in there. Didn't we put three in there? I see four. The glory was in that furnace. Amen. Okay? So let's be quick to encourage ourselves in the Lord to that. That's what the grace of God can do. And one another. And one another, brothers and sisters. This is, God's given us such a precious, precious family here. And to thrill with the body that we have in this place. I'm not complimenting you. I'm giving all glory to God and his faithfulness and his grace. But it's so, so wonderful. But these tests and these trials often come where we're forsaken by familiar friends, even by family. Maybe, as Brother Paul says, the loss of all things naturally, that we've lost all these things. But we even losing that's nothing. It's the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. And we need to be understanding that who knows what God may have in store for us to bless us. Huh? I don't want you going thinking too far about that one. It'll scare you. Huh? Yeah. But obey him. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I'll assure you one thing. the Bible assures you, you'll be greatly blessed. Greatly blessed. Hallelujah. Now, naturally speaking, even in verse 3, it goes on talking about prospering in many years and all of those in the natural. But, brothers and sisters, I really want you to understand, as the Holy Spirit brings this to us, this is the much the more in the heavens in Christ. This is speaking of the exceeding riches of His grace. This is the windfall profit throughout eternity to us as we yield to God. Now, verse 4, I believe, really brings it all out. This is the ranks and the responsibility, brothers and sisters, that we have to one another and to the body. And here it goes. It says, "And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." And let's go over to 1 John. And this might bring some of those wonderful thoughts and remembrances back of what the Lord brought out in that study. And we'll just read the 13th verse of the second chapter of 1 John. It's 1 John 2:13. "I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known Him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father." Now, brothers and sisters, that really kind of lays this out. The fathers, the young men, and the little children here of what God's bringing out for us in the sixth chapter. The fathers in this verse are truly, in a sense, if you think of this, the under-shepherds of faith. They're the ones that have matured and known the Lord, as it says, even from the very beginning. There's an intimacy here of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus to know Him as bridegroom. Now, the children, though, in 1 John, as I pointed out earlier, speaks of the infants, the little teeny children, whereas the children here in what we're reading about is sons. And if you really think about this, we're talking the difference between a 1 John and an Ephesians. Ephesians is to the, let me tell you, it's a high watermark book. It's calling out. These brothers and sisters had great potential. You have all the potential there could be, brothers and sisters. We have heard this message year after year after year after year. Okay? We are so without excuse. God has called us. God has chosen us. All right? But not that we've apprehended. Oh, no. We press. We press. It's the mark. It's the prize. It's the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now that's who we are. And just know it. And that's wonderful. But it wasn't anything that you caused. It wasn't anything that you did. It was just wholly, solely the grace of God. That you turned to it. That you apprehended that. You responded to it. You said, "Jesus, thank you. I understand that it is your work. And this is what you want for me." So, I believe it is very fitting for this meeting. There is such a distinction here in this about the father and the child. Even though these aren't the little children, there's a separation here nonetheless. But we have wonderful saints in this meeting, all to the grace of God. As I was mentioning earlier about that person that was asking about the meetings, that kind of didn't keep track of us, you know, lost us back there at the problem. Oh my goodness. They asked me, they said, "Well, are there quite a few out there?" I said, "Well, there's as many as God has." What do you think? Amen? I said, "What we really look at is the quality of the sheep, not the number." But I said, "You know, the Lord's blessed us with quite a few." But I said, "The quality of the sheep, I give Him all the glory. Boy, do we have some fat sheep. Praise be to God." So, and they rejoiced, and there was a sweetness there. But you can see how even unbeknownst to us, see, the enemy wants to twist things and separate people and things of that nature. So I say, we pray for the unity of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, till we all come. My goodness, it's just right around the corner. So let's be in tune. But it is a fitting verse. The grace of God is growing us up in the word of His grace. We're becoming by His grace the readied wife. But lest we ever forget, there in the 31st chapter of Proverbs, the virtuous woman, she is always prepared and readied to bring meat and raiment to the family of God. Isn't she? Praise the Lord. She's there to do that. She's there, as this verse so sweetly tells us, to nurture and to give that meat, to care for. She does not provoke. She doesn't belittle. She doesn't condemn. God help us not to do that. And we were challenged at a time in this meeting in a very great way that we could have gone that way. I'm thankful for the grace of God to come in. And I'm talking as, again, a meeting, that what this meeting represents, and that is the love of God. We want to fellowship in the deepest things of God. We want people to come in freely and worship Him in spirit and in truth. There isn't a one, and I believe that, in the heart of hearts, that we would not want to see in this place. I pray there wouldn't be in your heart. We would want anyone and everyone to come and to worship together in the freedom and in the sincerity of what God has brought us into. So these are the things that God continues to put in our hearts. But see, she doesn't provoke, she doesn't belittle, she doesn't condemn, but rather she reproves, she rebukes, she exhorts, just as a good mom or a good dad in the natural. Amen? You don't let chaos just run loose in your house. This isn't a free-for-all to God. We stand, and withstand, and having done all, stand. All by grace, but we take our place, brothers and sisters, and we do. We're hold the fort, and I'm thankful that that is true and such a blessing to our lives. We correct at times, but it's always in love, and it's always with instruction and encouragement. We strive by grace not to rouse in anger, but we strive to rouse love. Don't you want to provoke in love? I pray we do. And admiration, not just in word only, but in deed and truth. Godly testimony, brothers and sisters, is monumental to our lives. Godly testimony. And it is true that oftentimes, not just sometimes, oftentimes, it's our testimony that speaks louder than anything. But don't think that that testimony is just going to speak in one day. Sometimes it takes years. Because there's a lot of stiff-necked out there. There's a lot of hardness out there. And don't shun that working of the Lord. Be patient in it. Don't become weary in well-doing. Huh? Amen. Don't just cast it off and say, well, they're never going to come around. You continue to pray. The Lord didn't give up on you. And let me tell you something, every one of us, we might even have some of us here ornery tonight, but there's been periods of our life we've been awful ornery. And God waits patiently. It's hard to even say that, isn't it? It's hard to even go on to think how patient He is. Hallelujah. All right, verse 5. Jesus is our head. Whether or not we think so or not, He's the head. Hallelujah. Our master, if you will, as it says in this verse. And by grace, brothers and sisters, we're His servants. We're servants, all right? Servants are vessels of usefulness to Him. I believe there's sanctification written all over this. And I want to go over to 2 Timothy. We were just there. Chapter 2, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20 and 21, dear brother was encouraged to bring this out to me, and the Lord just continuing to sing to my heart with this. He's always timely, isn't He? But 2 Timothy chapter 2, 20, 21, it says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. So there's lots of servants in a kingdom, just as there's lots of vessels in a house. And some vessels, and actually many vessels, if I tell my wife this, and she's not here, so I can talk a little bit about it. I said, we got so many things that just sit there that we don't use. But they're vessels, but they're not used very often, are there, huh? But then there's some that are so useful, and then there's some that are so personal. You know what I'm saying? You know what the Lord's saying here? That are only for the Master's use. My goodness. I was reminded how Brother Hill used to bring out some things, and he used to talk about the pitcher, and a pitcher that you'd pour with, and how a pitcher in a house is used a lot, you know, for breakfast and meals and things like that. But it's used by everyone, you know. They pass it around, and everybody's getting a good use out of it. But then he would talk about a mustache cup that was used, but it was only used by the Master. He was the one that special use was for him. It was set apart to him. It was a vessel adding to the usefulness of him. That's the usefulness of the husband. That's really what the epitome of the vessel is. But meat for the Master's use, brothers and sisters, is only for him. Only for him. Set apart only for him. It just has the cherubim just thrilling in my heart. Beyond that Holy of Holies, that's all that was there. Praise God. There was God, hallelujah, and there was the cherubim. Praise His name. And I'm just so thankful that the Lord delights in her like that. So this is some good stuff. But you also see as it goes on there, and as we go back to Ephesians, and we'll move along, but it brings out the qualities. Fear and trembling. And I think how God works so perfectly. Remember Sunday how we said that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And we need to stand in awe of Him forever. Praise the Lord. How could you not stand in awe of how He loves you? Not just of His greatness, not of His acts, but His ways. And His ways are love, and how He loves us. And to stand in awe of, like I say, whether it's His patience and all these things, but it's not just His patience with me, which just blows me away. It's His love for me. That He'd love a one like me. How many times it was brought out how that prince or that king would fall in love with that little peasant girl. And He just had to have her. There were many beauty and princesses all in that kingdom. But let me tell you something. That one that was going to take the throne, He loved that girl from the squalor. The one that didn't have any proper upbringing or maybe anything like that. He loved her. And I'm sure it just knocked her socks off and she'd say, my goodness, why me? But when she really saw that it was her, it turned into, why not me? He likes me. I want to be with Him too. And that's exactly how the Lord sees us. He just loves us. And I'm so grateful to God. See, this faith is taking hold in our lives. And that's where it goes on here, to the singleness of heart. And if you go ahead and read the third chapter of Colossians, it'll bring you all through this as well too. God and His sufficient witnesses all over His word in it. But singleness of heart not only means with sincerity and virtuously, brothers and sisters, but singleness of heart means you don't seek anything of your own. It's not self-seeking. You love that person so much. And see, this is the husband and wife relationship again, isn't it? I see that so often in marriages. Well, I got this, so I need to get that. Well, you got to do that, so I get to do this. So it's always this mounting, keeping score game. Uh-oh. I didn't spend too many tonight. There's not as many here. But they'll be listening. But brothers and sisters, when you're truly in love, you just love. And you love to do for the other. It just is that way. Somebody from the outside looking in, how could you do all that for him? He's no good. And she just says, no, I love him. But see, in this case, he's all good. He's all wonderful. How could we not want to? And that's people that are ignorant in the things of the Lord. How in the world or why in the world would you come out on a Wednesday night, weather so bad, to do that? Why wouldn't you want to just take one night off? Like I go back and tell you, man, when you're really in love, did you want to take one night off from your lover? Kind of says it all, doesn't it? Hallelujah. All right. And then it's not just when others are watching. It's not just for your benefit. It's not that at all. It's complete generosity to Him. This wasn't walking through the line and striking your chest, showing how good you were or whatever. This is the widow's mite. This is that one that walked through and nobody knew and actually wasn't even looking at her. What are you even doing here? But yet God knew she gave all that she had. She gave it all. And that's what's so wonderful here, brothers and sisters. See, He looks upon the heart. She gives herself over to Him completely, always. And she doesn't care what other people think. She's in love. It does not matter. And oftentimes, brothers and sisters, when we go without the camp, not only, well, it doesn't please men. It offends men. And it'll offend people that you love that are close to you, that might not have that loving relationship with the Lord. Well, my goodness, why didn't you stay with me tonight, huh? I love you enough to go love the Lord. How's that? He's going to increase my love even more for you. Praise the Lord. And that's how it works. That's our wonderful Lord. It really is completely opposite of being a man pleaser anyways. But this is the wife that thinks only of her husband. She does nothing for show. Nothing. She does it only for love. I believe that God is bringing us to that point. We don't have anything to prove. Why would we want to? We just want to love. Isn't that what it is? Praise God. He proves Himself faithful. And in His faithfulness, I receive that in His grace, and He proves His love in me. Hallelujah. It's never out of duty, is it? See, that's what religion is. Religion is duty. He doesn't want it out of duty. He wants it out of willingness and thankfulness. He wants a grateful heart. He wants somebody that desires Him. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Lord, I know You've already given me everything. So You've given me everything. There's no more to give. You know what I'm saying? I have it all. So I've already got it all. You've already given it all to me. I just desire to be with You. Isn't that a precious way that the Lord's bringing us? We do. We're just, I love You, Jesus. You love me. You're the incredible lover of my soul. And I just want to be with You. And she downright just wants to please Him. And to continue to receive all of those precious revelation and the showing of all the blessings that He's given her in Christ. Because He so loves her. And then we'll just kind of, I guess, close it out here, because He sweetly ends in that ninth verse with such encouragement, really, to all of us, brothers and sisters. That's what's so precious here. It really is. God's not a respecter of person. He just isn't. All right? He's just not. He wants all to be in this state of forbearing, forgiving, being long-suffering, meek, and kind. And I say this, that this isn't just laid away for servants. It's for masters too. You know, He wants all men to enter into this, all mankind. It's freely offered. And what the Lord put on my heart here is to encourage us tonight is, let God choose for our life. Let God choose for your life. Let Him choose. If God gives you tomorrow, let Him choose. Really. Let God have His way. Don't try to mold your life as you see fit. Let Him, you know, the potter, let Him mold that clay. That's what's so precious in that relationship. Be still and surrender and submit and be content with who and what He has made you. I'm talking about truly, brothers and sisters, how we arrived here. Huh? How we look. Who we are. What we have. What parents we have or had or did not have. Whatever side of the track doesn't matter. Whatever side of the track you were born on or I was born on, it had to be the glory side. Amen? Brought you here tonight, didn't it now? Isn't that amazing? See, that's when you know it's got to be God. Does not have a cookie cutter. I was watching them snowflakes today this morning just fall down in the yard. And there were so many coming down so fast and they were so small. You know, when you see the big ones coming down, those are amazing too. But this was just like they were just one after the other. And there had to be, you know, I don't know, a trillion of them just in my backyard in the space of 5-10 minutes. And I was thinking, not one of them are alike. And not one of us are alike. And one star differeth from another in glory. Hallelujah. And it is so absolutely marvelous how He just, as we rejoice Sunday, reveals Himself all over the place. But, so now we know that let Him do it, but now submit to what He wants us to be in Him. And as we kind of started out earlier tonight, you know, praise the Lord. Think of how many years we've been studying this plan. Sitting under this plan. And now's the time to truly allow this plan to completely work in us. Give it over to God. Like never before. To let Him finish the good work that He's begun. To grow up into Him in all things. To let the godly perfection have her perfect work. To let full maturity grow freely in us. And make us perfect in every good work. I close with the thought of perfect symmetry. Brother Copley really got caught on that, especially right before he went home to be with the Lord. If you read some of his writings at that time. Perfect symmetry is what she is. She has no bad side. I've never met a person so vain, at least. They always had a better side. This is my good side, huh? But let me tell you something. She doesn't have a bad side. No matter what angle you take the picture from, that picture ravishes his heart. And I sit here among saints. Do you know who you are to God? Do you know who He's growing you up to be? You don't need to try to be special to this world. You don't. You don't need to try to be outstanding in these ways. I'm not trying to tell you to be a no-goal person or anything like that. If God has those things in your life, that's fine. I'm just telling you, know who you are in Christ. Know this message that if you let it grow up in you, which I know many of you here tonight are letting it do that, you're ravishing the very heart of the I Am. There isn't anything more that He desires. What more could there be? Well, there isn't. What could be greater? There isn't anything to compare. And you'd say, my goodness, it's too good to be true. That's another definition for the grace of God. But it is. It's the grace of God. Praise His name. I'm so thankful you came out tonight, brothers and sisters. I think the Lord has given us a sweet time together. I pray it's done you good. Let's stand and be dismissed.